We made this. Hello and welcome to We Buy Carousels, or the Giddy Carousel of Records. Tonight is a quiz. We've got We Buy Records versus the Giddy Carousel of Pop. Regular listeners to We Buy Records will know that I'm completely useless and can't answer any questions. So we've drafted in a ringer, and that is Juliet Harris. Hello, Juliet.
Hello.
So you're a radio host, a DJ, a podcaster, and... and you have quiz credentials. Tell us about those.
Well, allegedly, yes. So completely by accident, I was persuaded to go on Rylan, as in Rylan Off of Everything, on his Radio 2 show last summer to answer questions about TV and films, and accidentally won 10 weeks in a row and then had to go back at Christmas and became the champion of champions at Radio 2.
Excellent. You're now controller of Radio 2, aren't you, Julie?
Absolutely. I mean, I've put my application in, so we'll see. I'm expecting to get an interview at least.
You heard there the dulcet tones of Mr. Tim Scullion. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Paul.
Do you want to do your quizzing credentials?
I have no quizzing credentials at all. I have done some quizzes in a pub.
Susan's quizzes are great. You need to big that up.
Well, I might be a better quiz setter than quiz answerer, but we'll see.
I can confirm I'm definitely a better quiz setter than answerer. So let's turn to the other team here, the Giddy Carousel of Pop. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Right, Simon, you describe yourself as a music anorak, radio host, podcaster, and I like to think of you as an all-round Mr. Fix-It. But tell us about your quizzing credentials.
In 1995, I was part of
Christ,
the
how long is this going to take?
In 1995, I was part of the team that won the National NME Pop Quiz and won an Interrail ticket for my troubles.
And Gavin, also podcaster, DJ, writer, and I've got here runner-up of Mr. Sheffield in 1989.
You were robbed.
That is correct. Yeah.
Robbed. Tell us your quizzing credentials, Gavin.
About seven, eight years ago, I was on Pointless. First show, we aced it, got through to the final round, and the final was, it dropped into our laps really, because it was 80s music.
Ooh.
Well, it was pop music, Winners of the Brits, and we chose one from the 80s, and Paul Young won me the trophy. So every time I see a No Parley and a Chazza, a little piece of my heart beats a little bit quickly.
So Paul Young truly is Pointless then?
Yeah, he was.
Aww. Right, guys, we're going to go on with the first round here, and this is called Getting to Know You. I've been stalking your Twitter timelines, so you're going to get a couple of questions each, and all I'm going to do is ask you who tweeted this. So which of your other... wow. Contestants tweeted this. So, Jules, you're up first.
Hi.
Do you know what's a good album? Warren G's Regulate, G-Funk Era. That's what. Who tweeted that?
I think that's very likely to be Tim.
It was Tim. Well done. 1 point.
Well done, Juliet.
It's true. It is. I agree with you, as always.
It is. God, it's really good.
Tim, you ready?
Yes.
So, Depeche Mode and Simply Red. After a fight, Mick lost. Who tweeted that? It's one of the other three contestants.
I think that's Gavin.
You're wrong. It was Simon.
Oh, Tim.
Do you remember Simon?
I do not remember that in any way whatsoever.
31st of January, 2016.
Yeah. God, you've been digging deep, man.
Oh, Simon, who tweeted this? I taped the Pingu Winter Special in a moment of piss madness. It's one of the funniest things I've seen in ages.
So I'm looking at the remaining contestants here. It's going to be close.
The question is, has Paul tricked us by doing a double on anybody?
That's what I'm considering.
Oh God, this is like Kevin Keegan in 96. This is mind games. I will love it if we beat them. I will just love it.
I'm going to say Juliet.
It was Juliet. Well done, guys. That's another point.
It was really good. I stand by this.
Do you remember that, Juliet? Because that was back in 2013.
That might have been the year that I had the most responses I've ever had on Twitter when I did a Christmas, I did it in between a Winterval Christmas New Year quiz and asked the contents of Twitter what Pingu's dad did for a living, and I've never had so many replies.
Gavin, are you ready? Who tweeted this? Letter in a newspaper from Boris Johnson. This week's lining for the guinea pig cage for them to shit and piss on. Who tweeted that?
I'm going to go for Cy.
It was Simon Gallery. Well done. That's a point for the giddy carousel.
Juliet, this is disastrous already.
Jules, hello.
Sorry, Tim. I'm patting you across Zoom. It's okay.
Oh, thank you.
Who tweeted this? So I'm guessing we have to put up with all this Black Friday bollocks every year now. I've got the Charlie Brown wavy line mouth thing.
Sounds like Juliet.
I was going to say, was this not me? Let me have a think. I think I am going to go for Simon.
It was Gavin.
Oh!
Gavin, that was 6 years ago, Gavin. You don't remember that, do you?
No.
No.
It was 6 minutes ago and it's a struggle.
Tim, odd dream last night. I seem to have invented the Mangarita pizza. Old school Italian with an Indian twist. Fuck off, Heston. It's mine.
It is a pearl.
Don't look at that. I can see you looking at the other's faces to try and work it out.
Juliet's far too nice to say fuck off, Heston, so I'm ruling her out.
Right.
I mean, I would like him to, but I wouldn't say it.
I'm going to stick with the answer I gave for the previous one, Gavin.
It was Gavin. Well done. It's a point for We Buy Records.
Thank you.
Well said, Gavin, can I just say. Well done.
It's a good line. I wish I'd remembered it.
Simon, you ready?
Yes.
Who tweeted this? Newsflash, chickens can live for up to 20 years, guys. Newsflash ends. They're just spreading out of context. It's so ridiculous.
I'm going to go for Tim on that one.
It was Tim. Well done. Another point for the giddy carousel of pop.
That's where my money was on, I must admit. Mostly for gratuitous use of the phrase guys mid-sentence.
Was this a long time ago? Because I've got no memory of that whatsoever.
May last year. Oh. How many chicken tweets do you do, to be fair? There must be quite a lot. Your timeline is littered with them.
I usually log into a different Twitter account for that kind of stuff.
There's a perpetual audience for chicken-related content.
The thing is, chickens are really brilliant. Have you ever hung out with a chicken?
No.
Chickens are brilliant. Carry on, please. I'm so sorry.
Gavin, who tweeted this? Best thing I ever saw on the marathon was a postbox that fell over and took several people out as it rolled. Who tweeted that?
I'm going to go Juliet.
It was Juliet. Well done. Another point for the giddy carousel of pop.
I'm sorry, Tim, that my content is so memorable.
Damn it, Juliet.
So scores on the doors from the first round. We Buy Records with 2 points. The giddy carousel of pop with 4 points.
Long way to go.
We'll do better about stuff that matters. It's all right.
There is a Britpop round coming up, Juliet, so I think we'll be all right.
Boom. The Britpop round is coming next. Now, I will ask you the question. You can answer it straight up for 2 points, or I'll give you multiple choice for 1 point. Giddy Carousel of Pop, as you're in the lead, you can choose to go first or second.
Go first.
Okay. What was the evening session?
It was a radio show.
It was a radio show. 2 points for the Giddy Carousel of Pop. Tim, Jules, Justine Frischmann was guitarist and lead vocalist in which band?
It was Elastica.
Indeed.
Bloody
2
hell.
Points for We Buy Records. They do get progressively harder. Don't panic.
Their album is here behind my head. There it is on the wall.
Juliet is a mega fan of Elastica, so that was good.
Giddy Carousel, where was the Greyhound Stadium on the cover of Blur's Park Life? You can have the options if you want to drop down to a point.
How specific do you need it? Do you need the name of the stadium?
Yeah.
Okay, so London isn't going to be enough,
right? No, because they're... They're all in London, the options.
Yeah.
I've got an inkling as to what it is.
Risk it.
Do you want to risk it for a biscuit?
Do you want to risk it?
Go on, Si, go for it, mate.
Walthamstow.
Is the right answer. Well done.
Whoa!
Your other options were Catford, Wimbledon and Romford. So that's 2 points to the Giddy Carousel of Pot.
Wimbledon everyone... known for its working class greyhound racing connection.
They used to have, there was a Wimbledon track in Wimbledon.
Was
Wimbledon
there?
Wimbledon dogs. Yeah.
I take my class war comments back. I apologise.
Away with you. Tim, Juliet, what was originally going to be on the cover of Park Life?
It's a fruit and veg stall.
It is a fruit and veg stall. 2 points for We Buy Records.
And it was going to be called Juliet. London as well.
Cool. Right, guys. Which London street features on the cover of Oasis's What's the Story, Morning Glory?
Berwick Street.
It is Berwick Street. 2 points to the Giddy Carousel. Tim, Jules, or should I just say Jules?
No, I need Tim. Oh. Don't take him from me.
She needs my smiley face.
Which band was Noel Gallagher sound technician for before Oasis formed?
I'll field this one.
Okay.
I believe it was the Inspiral Carpets.
I concur with my colleague.
2 points to We Buy Records. Well done.
Hey.
Giddy Carousel. Which band's frontman featured on the cover of Select's Yanks Go Home issue?
Classic issue.
It was Brett Anderson, Suede.
It was Suede. 2 points to the Giddy Carousel. You guys are storming this so far, but they do get harder. Tim, Jules, what city is Shed 7 from?
They're from York.
They are from York. 2 points again for We Buy Records.
Rick Witter still has a radio show on the York FM station.
See, this is the kind of content we're here for, Jules.
I mean, I don't think many other people are there for that content, but still.
And he's rhyming slang.
He is. What can't he do?
The next question, the Carousel guys might have regretted them coming in this order, but... which London borough is the Good Mixer in?
I've got an idea, but do you want to go for the multiple options, or do you want to go for it?
I think we should go for it.
Okay.
What's your answer?
What are you thinking, Gav?
I'm thinking Camden. Are you thinking that?
I was thinking that too.
Okay, and you're right. Well done. 2 points to the Carousel. Well done, boys. Jules, Tim, what was the first Oasis single?
It's either Supersonic or Shaker Maker, and I can't remember which one it is.
Ooh,
I think it's
Yeah, let's go Supersonic.
The thing is, because if we go out of three, he's going to say, was it Supersonic, Shaker Maker?
Or Sync Plunger, absolutely.
Let's say Supersonic.
It's the right answer. 2 points for We Buy Records. Well done. Right, Carousel. Which member of Blur had a regular column in The Sun?
Ooh. Oh, really?
I think I know it. Do you know it, Si? I think it was Alex.
It was Alex. Well done. Yeah. 2 points there for the Giddy Carousel.
You could have just asked who was the biggest cunt in Blur, couldn't you? You could have asked it.
I think this was during the... this was a Britpop era. The Sun was supporting Tony Blair at this time.
What I was going to say was it was exactly who you'd expect it to be now.
Yes.
That's a slightly more family friendly version way of putting it, Timothy Robert Scullion.
Right, Tim and Jules.
Mm.
How many studio albums have Suede released?
All right, okay.
Start
from the beginning. Suede.
I'm so sorry, Juliet. Suede, Dogman Star, coming up, Head Music. What's that next chip one?
Placemaker. We'll call that Placemaker because I can't remember what it's called. New Morning. That's what it's called. I saw them on that tour. And then
another one.
Night Visions, I think. And then possibly another one after that. So let's say 7.
It's 8.
Oh, bugger! So they've hung around for longer than they needed to, is the conclusion we can draw from that.
It is, and that's the first drop points in this round, but they are getting harder.
I'm sorry, Timbro.
So, Carousel, who is credited, and who is credited with coining the term Britpop?
Well, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
I think it's John Harris.
No, it's incorrect.
Who is it?
It was Stuart McConey.
Wow. I once met Stuart McConey and he had very, very pale skin. He looked a bit like a ghost.
The Carousel guys, you must like see him for tea and stuff all the time because you all live with each other and up north.
Well, Stuart McConey, I was once stood waiting for my train at Piccadilly Station, and you know when you can feel someone staring at you? So I'm looking, I turn around, Stuart McConey staring right at me. I'm like, well, what's your problem? Buddy McConey, come on.
Yeah.
Sing it.
Juliet, Tim, who stars in the video for Pulp's Common People?
It's that woman.
Do you mean Keely Hawes?
No. Do I?
Or do you mean Sadie Frost?
I mean Sadie Frost.
Shall we say Sadie Frost? Let's say Sadie Frost.
2 points for We Buy Records. Hey! Well done.
Keely Hawes was in a Suede video, but it wasn't that one.
Well, that's good because that was Pulp.
Fair enough. I think she might have been a Pulp one too. Oh, well, I don't really know what's going on. Who are you?
Right. Carousel. Who stars in the video for Sleepers in Betweener? Remember, you do have the option for me to read them out for 1 point.
Yeah. Should we go for the 1 point, Si?
Yeah, let's go for the single point. Yeah.
So your options are Bruce Forsyth, Henry Kelly, Roy Walker and Dale Winton.
Dale Winton, sorry.
1 point there for the Giddy Carousel of Pop. Well done.
Oh, rest in peace, Dale.
Tim and Jules, who is the singer in Jean?
It's Martin Rossiter.
2 points for We Buy Records. Well done.
I met him once. I met him in the Booth Museum in Brighton, which is a massive museum full of an eccentric man's collection of taxidermied animals.
And what did Martin Rossiter say anything? How did it go?
He just sort of nodded.
Fair enough. I mean, you can't go wrong there. I haven't met Martin Rossiter, but I once couldn't attend a pop music quiz in Lewis. So one of the people on the team brought their best mate instead. And Martin Rossiter replaced me on the pop quiz team.
That is better than my one.
They didn't win.
Carousel, which of these bands didn't support Oasis at Nebworth in 1996? I'm going to have to read this out. You're still going to get the 2 points if you get it right. The Happy Mondays, the Chemical Brothers, the Manic Street Preachers, or the Prodigy? Who didn't support Oasis at Nebworth?
So 1996, did you say? Hadn't the Happy Mondays split up by then? Wasn't it Black Grape by then?
That would have been my guess.
Yeah.
Should we go with them?
Yeah, let's go with the Happy Mondays.
It was the Happy Mondays. 2 points there.
Well deduced, guys.
Like, do you know what? I have a black. I actually have a. Because most of this is like way over my head.
Foreign language to you, isn't it, Paul?
I did go to Reading in 1996 and I had backstage and I got to hang out with Black Grape.
How was that?
I don't know. Some guy I knew who worked for Dr. Martin's, who were one of the sponsors.
That's as Paul as I expected that anecdote to be, frankly. Peak Paul.
I got to play Scalectric with Dodgy.
I'll save my Sean Ryder Tesco car park story for another occasion.
Oh, no. I'm really excited now.
Come on. Make it quick. We need to hear it.
Apparently, Sean Ryder and Bez had houses next door to each other. You used to see Bez a lot going into the off-licence. But one day, pulled up in Tesco, walking across the car park, I could hear some guy having a right old shout. He's just, and then a kid shouting back, "Oh, Dad, don't grass on me, don't tell me, Mam," and all this sort of stuff. I'm thinking, shit, I'm just going to move up an aisle in the car park and stay away from this lot. And stood outside a tatty old Ford Escort. It was Sean Ryder having a go at his kid who'd obviously done something that would have displeased his mum. He's going, "Oh, Dad, don't tell me, Mum, don't grass on me."
I thought you were going to say it was Sean Ryder and his dad. And it was Sean who was saying, "Oh, don't grass on me, Dad." It's disappointing.
Right, next question. Jules, Tim, where was the video for the Boo Radleys' Wake Up Boo filmed? Oh, silence.
Do you want
the options?
I'm feeling in a multiple choice mood. Are you, Tim?
Yes, me too. Yes, yeah. I am.
Was it a North Sea oil rig, Caernarfon Castle, Battersea Power Station or Chris Evans' kitchen?
My feeling is Battersea Power Station, but I'm happy to be overruled.
I've got no memory of that video whatsoever, so I'm going to...
Yeah, let's guess at Battersea opinion. Power Station.
Is the right answer. 1 point for We Buy Records. Well done. Carousel, who was the lead vocalist in Echo Belly?
Oh, Sonia. Began with an M.
Yeah.
Marsden.
I'll give it Marden. To you, Sonia Marden. 2 points for the carousel. Right, Jules, Tim, who was the bassist in Supergrass?
It was Mickey Quinn.
Bloody hell. Two points for We Buy Records. Well done, Jules. Right, carousel. What was the first track on Supergrass's I Should Coco?
Strange Ones.
is incorrect, I'm afraid. It's I'd like to know.
Oh, I'd like to know. Oh, yeah, because that's in the lyric. I'd like to know where those strange ones go.
Was that the first time that they've received no points?
That is the first time they've received no points, yes. Yes. Wow. So you can catch up here, I think.
Didn't you get the John
Harris
No,
we got the John Harris one.
Thank God.
Yeah.
It's all right, Tim. It's okay. Stay calm.
It's on the shelf here as well. I could have just reached across and got that.
So,
I mean, that's not quite in the spirit of the quiz, but I take the
point.
I was trying to show you the Oasis single earlier, though, but you know.
And we missed that.
Our loss.
Tim and Jules, who dubbed Ian Brown King Monkey?
Ooh, it's the kind of thing that Quantic would have said.
Yeah, but, should we go for multiple?
Let's go multiple choice.
We'll have multiple, please.
Alan Leach from Shed 7, Danny Goffey from Supergrass, Johnny X from Kinnicky, or Nigel Clark from Dodgy?
I think it might have been Johnny X from Kinnicky. It's the sort I'd of odd like thing it to Kinnicky have been would here. Say. Let's say Johnny X from Kinnicky.
It's the wrong answer, I'm afraid. It's my old Scalectrix chums from Dodgy.
Oh, what?
Carousel. So, which Sleeper song was used on the soundtrack to Trainspotting?
Oh, I think I know it.
What are you thinking?
Right, this isn't my answer, Paul. I think it was a cover of Atomic. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, yes, it does ring a bell.
Should we go for that then?
Yeah, go for that.
I'm pretty sure Atomic
is the wrong answer. It's Statuesque.
They all sound the same.
They are. We're getting to the tail end now, and they're a lot more tricky. So, Tim and Juliet.
I'm holding your hand, Tim. It's going to be all right.
What was the name of Me, Me, Me's first and only single?
Oh, Hanging Around.
Easy. Oh, give me a hard one.
Yeah.
And I bought it off Tim.
2 points for my records there. Oh, did you?
I did, yeah. Brilliant. I still play it. I'm unashamed in my quite like for Hanging Around.
And there we are. Si's got it.
Hey!
Right next to Menswear.
And such other titans of pop.
Carousel, how old was Jarvis Cocker when he formed Pulp?
Oh, when they formed, he was
still at school.
He was still at school, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what should we say? Like 15?
Is the right answer. Well done. 2 points for the Carousel.
Yes!
Tim and Jules, Pearl Lowe was singer in which band?
Powder.
Well done. 2 points for We Buy Records.
Yes.
We're back on the up, Tim. We've got
man. Yeah, we can do this. We can
do this. Carousel. The Blue Tone song, Marblehead Johnson, is a tribute to which comedian? I can give you the options if you want them.
Yeah, go on.
Bill Hicks, Lenny Bruce, Richard Pryor, Sam Kinison.
I've got no idea.
We're just going to have to guess it, aren't we? Should we go... Bill Hicks
is the right answer. Well done.
Yep.
Tim and Jules, how many people turned up to see Blur at Mile End Stadium in 1995?
A lot.
I mean, I think I've got a number, but I'm willing to go multiple choice if you want to,
Let's
Tim.
Let's
go multiple choice.
15,000, 23,000, 27,000, 32,000.
I think it's in the 20s.
Shall we go 27,000?
Okay, 27,000.
Oh, no, hang on. No, you've hesitated.
I felt you swinging towards 23 there, and I was originally going to say 20,000.
I pivoted. Let's say 23,000, Paul.
It's the wrong answer. It's 27,000.
Oh, for God's sake. Oh, man. I failed the first law of pub quizzing, which is that your first instinct is always right.
That's true. Damn it.
Last two questions. So, Giddy Carousel, which band nearly heralded their post-Britpop comeback with Cocaine Socialism, a song about New Labour?
Pulp.
It was indeed Pulp. 2 points to the Carousel. Last question, Tim, Jules, who directed the film Live Forever, The Rise and Fall of Britpop?
Oh, I've got it on my shelf and I can't remember.
Quick, Juliet, have a little look.
I think me leaving the screen to go to my lounge is possibly going to be a little bit obvious. And I could Google on my phone in slightly less obvious scenes. Or we could go multiple. I'll probably know it if I hear it. Or I might know it if I hear it. Let's downgrade from probably to Mike. Can we have a multiple, please, Paul Field?
John Dower, Frank Rodham, John Batsek, Alex James.
My feeling is John Dower.
Yep, happy with that.
John Dower.
Is the right answer. 1 point. Do you want me to do some scores on the doors for you? Well, I have my lovely assistant the other side of the laptop keeping score. So hello,
hi,
to Catherine.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine.
So We Buy Records, you have 24 points and the Giddy Carousel of Pop has 26 points.
We're still in it to win it, Tim.
Yes, this is good.
We have very close.
Close, isn't it? Close.
Closer than close. Rosie Gaines.
The next round is the great Coca-Cola quiz round, which of the lovely We Buy Records listeners sent us this beautiful vintage box, which is so many quiz cards in it, it's ridiculous. So you can see me shuffling them, because some of them are really easy. And I'm going to do five into four, and you can just pick a pile. I've got pile 1, 2, 3, and 4. As the Giddy Carousel are in the lead, would you like to go first or second?
First.
Right, and who wants to play first for you guys?
Yeah, go on, I'll go, Paul.
Okay, Gavin, your categories are, you have to try and remember these because I have to keep repeating them, is 70s, 80s, groups, soloists, albums, singles, American or Coke?
80s, please.
Name Rush's only top 20 hit.
Spirit of the Radio.
1 point for Carousel. Well done. Which category next?
Can I keep going 80s?
Yeah.
Or do I have to do a different...
No.
Yeah, I'll keep going 80s.
Who were Walking in the Rain in 83?
No, it's gone.
Modern Romance. Category? You stay 80s with 80s.
Okay. Yeah, go on.
Who sang about A Strange Little Girl in 82?
Stranglers.
Correct. 1 point. Well done. When was Dear Prudence a hit for Susie and the Banshees?
1980... Three.
Correct. Well done. 1 point. And what was Wham's first number one? Well, this is top pop knowledge here.
Club Tropicana.
It was Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Ah.
3 out of 5 there, Gavin. Still
that
a respectable score.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was shit.
Right, just for that, Tim, you can go next.
Okay. In your face. Oh, no, wait, you're on my team. Sorry. Luck. Love you.
Thanks, Juliet.
Category, please, Scullion.
Albums, please.
Albums. Which Kajagoogoo LP reached number 5 in 1983?
What have you done? Jesus.
I know. Kajagoogoo by Kajagoogoo.
No, it was White Feathers. Category, please, Tim.
Albums.
Albums. Who had a number 1 LP with 1982? Have to hurry you.
Tim, you're our last hope.
Rick Wakeman.
Status quo. Category, please, Tim.
Don't say albums.
Albums.
How many top 20 hits came from the LP Thriller?
5.
6. Category, please, Tim.
Albums.
Don't say albums. What's wrong?
Whose debut album was Script for a Jester's Tear?
Marillion.
It was Marillion. Well done.
I take it all back.
And your last category, please, Tim?
Coke.
Coke. What were T-Rex originally known as?
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yes, well done. So you got 2 out of 5, Tim. Well, still respectable.
Sorry, Juliet.
That was a good recovery, though. I admired that.
Thank you.
2's a shit score, Tim.
Isn't it nice that this can bring us all together? I'm so touched, yeah.
Simon.
Hello.
Category, please.
70s, please.
Who sang I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing?
The New Seekers.
It was The New Seekers. Well done. Category, please.
80s, please.
Name Rod Stewart's 83 number one.
Baby Jane.
Correct. Well done. Category?
What's the next one down?
Groups.
Let's do groups.
What nationality are Rush?
Canadian.
Correct. Next category down?
Yeah, let's do the next one down.
Whose first solo hit was Love Kills?
Freddie Mercury.
It was Freddie Mercury. And your next question, who had a number one LP with Meet Is Murder in 1985?
Oh, come on.
The Smiths.
Full House, Simon Galloway, Cirque. Well done, that's really good.
That was superb. Good work.
No pressure, Jules.
Oh, man.
Category?
70s.
Who took Angelo and Figaro to number one?
Baccarat?
No, the Brotherhood of Man.
I don't regret not knowing
that.
Regret not knowing that, yeah.
No, category?
Absolutely. Groups.
When was True number one for Spandau Ballet?
83.
Correct. Well done.
Well done, Jules.
Category?
Groups.
Which Bay City Rollers hit was number one in Britain for 6 weeks but didn't make the US top 100?
Bye Bye Baby.
Correct. Well done.
Groups.
What group did Paul Weller form after the jam?
Star Council.
Well done, correct.
Groups.
Who flew to number one with Only You in 1983?
That would be your chums, Yazoo. Oh, no, Flying Pickets!
Flying Pickets. I have to take your first answer. You got 3 out of 5.
The clue was in the question.
I know. And yeah, I'm sorry, Timbro. I still got more than you, though.
Fine.
Oh, that was unlucky.
My advice is for next time, don't choose albums.
Scores on the Doors after that round are 29 points for We Buy Records, 34 points for the Giddy Carousel.
It's still not undoable, though.
Right, specialist round. I will offer these questions over if you do not get them. If you don't get them right to the other team,
this isn't a quiz. It's just a panic attack in slow motion.
I'm literally going to need to read them out as I printed them here. There was no, and that's Simon I've got first up.
Okay.
And your specialist subject, please.
David Bowie.
What's David Bowie's...
It's a big field. That's a hell of a category to bite off.
Oh, well, not your psyching, Tim. Psych him out.
Don't let him psych you out, Si. Stare him out.
What's David Bowie's real name?
David Robert Jones.
Correct. What was the name of his first band?
The Conrads.
It was the Conrads. Excellent. Now, this gets a little bit trickier here. What character did David Bowie voice in SpongeBob SquarePants?
Oh, some emperor, but I can't remember. Pass.
Do you want to have? Do you know the answer on the other side on We Buy Records?
Surely you know this, Juliet.
I've watched so much SpongeBob, and I can't remember. Let's say Emperor Zoom.
No, it's Lord Royal Highness. Simon, who wrote Bowie's first US number one, Fame?
David Bowie, John Lennon and Carlos Alomar.
Oh, well done. And this is going to throw you slightly because you won't necessarily know the answer, but how much is a white hot stamper of Ziggy Stardust? And if you get it within $100, I'll give you the point.
Okay. $2,400.
No. Do you want to have a guess on the other team?
It's going to be higher. It's going to be a stupid amount.
You sell records. Bigger number.
$5,600.
It's $600.
Oh.
Oh.
So three.
Bargain.
You've got 3 out of 5 there for Carousel. Jules, you're up next.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. Your specialist subject, please.
PJ Harvey, please.
Which honour was PJ Harvey awarded by the Queen?
MBE.
Correct. 1 point. Well done.
Which she surely turned down, right?
No, she then a guest editor today and put loads of crazy lefties on it and the Daily Mail complained about her.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's okay. Carry on, Paul.
Which band did PJ join in 1988?
Automatic Dlamini.
It is Automatic Dlamini. Well done.
I bought the LP off Tim. Thanks, Tim.
Oh.
There's a theme here, isn't there?
There is. Which character did PJ play in the 1998 film The Book of Life?
Mary Magdalene.
Cool. Yep. That was one of the toughest questions I could find as well. You're doing really well here. PJ released 2 collaborative albums with John Parrish. Can you name them?
Dance Hall at Louse Point and A Woman and Man Walk By.
Correct. The limited edition version of Dry, which comes with a free bonus album, sold on eBay for how much in 2016? If you get within £50, I'll give you the points.
Let's say, well, put it this way, I regret not buying one for £60 in 2003. Let's say £250.
No, it's £360. But still, everyone's got a money question, which you have to guess. So you did really well to get 4 out of 5 there, Jules. Well done.
Thank you very much.
We once had a copy of that and we sold it for, I think, 150.
What, with demonstration?
I think so.
Wow.
A long time ago. But yeah, so 3-something is a stupidly high price. Anyway, carry on.
Gavin.
Yes. Hello.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Your specialist subject, please, sir.
It's the life and works of the Smiths.
The Smiths gave their first public performance as a support act in which Manchester venue?
The Ritz.
It was the Ritz. Well done. February 1984, they released their debut LP, The Smiths. But what number did it reach in the UK album chart?
Number two.
It was number two. Which US hipster sketch show did Johnny Marr appear in as himself?
Portlandia.
Yes, well done. The backing vocals on Big Mouth Strikes Again are credited to Ann Coates. Who was that in reality?
Morrissey.
It was Morrissey. How much... How much did a copy of the negative artwork 7-inch Hand in Glove sell for in 2015? If you get it within £300, I'll give you the points.
Oh, that is big, big money. I think there's only like 20 copies in existence.
There are only 20 copies.
I'll say 2,600.
Oh, it was $3,000.
Oh my gosh.
So close.
Unlucky.
But you got four out of five. That's a really good score. Well done. Top Smith's knowledge. Tim.
Hi, Paul.
Go albums, Paul. Go for albums.
Go for Coke.
your specialist subject, please.
The music and whatever of Jim O'Rourke.
Who I had to look up. Which city was he born in?
I hope Chicago.
Correct. Well done. In 1993, O'Rourke formed an avant rock group with Darren Gray and Dylan Posser called what?
Gastro del Sol.
It's incorrect. I'm going to pass it over. Do you guys know?
An idea. Have you got an idea, Si?
I can only think of the one that he did with the guy from Wilco. So it's not that one.
Okay. I'm thinking the Sea and the Cake. Should we go for that?
Go on.
Sea and the Cake?
No, it's called Bryce Glace.
Okay.
Into which 2003 film, Tim, did O'Rourke work as a consultant teaching child actors how to play the songs?
School of Rock.
It was School of Rock. Well done. In 2019, O'Rourke released a 4-CD box set recorded over 2 years at the Steam Room. What was its title?
Pass.
Can I hand it over? Do you know the carousel?
Steam Room Sonata.
It was...
No idea.
I mean, I swear he's making this bollocks up as he goes along, but it was called To Magnetise Money and Catch a Roving Eye.
Gosh.
That's peak beard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Tim.
Mm-hmm.
September 2014, a sealed original copy of Sonic Youth's Goo sold for how much? And if you get within 50 quid, I'll give you the points.
170 quid.
£398.
Good Lord.
I mean, that is nuts in your defence, Tim, as good as that album is.
I mean, it's got nothing to do with Jim O'Rourke, but it's fine.
Wasn't he Sonic Youth adjacent?
He was in them briefly, but he wasn't in them when they did Goo.
Oh, do you want the scores on the Doors?
Yes.
So, We Buy Records, you have 35 points.
Not bad.
Giddy Carousel of Pop, 41 points.
Fannies.
But the difference hasn't changed, Tim. It's not got worse. It was 6 points last time.
Oh, all right. Oh, thanks, Juliet. I'm glad you're here.
It's okay. I have a background in sports psychology. It's fine. I don't, but let's pretend I do.
So I now have the questions that your competitors have put together for you. So as they're from your competitors, these are worth 2 points each. Tim and Juliet, you can go first.
All right.
Okay.
Who from this list recorded the most Peel sessions? Stereolab, Bell and Sebastian, Steel Pulse, PJ Harvey, or the White Stripes?
So I think PJ Harvey did about 6 or 7, Tim. So,
oh, did she really?
I think so, yeah. She pretty much did one for every album over about 13 years. So
thing is, the lab did various BBC sessions for various BBC shows.
They did, in which case...
Not exclusively Peel.
I don't think Ben and Sebastian did that many. Because they only really got going in 96, 97, and then he died in 2004, so I shouldn't think...
What if it's Steel Pulse?
Let's say Steel Pulse.
It was PJ Harvey with 9.
Oh, what? That was all my fault.
Yeah, you knew you should have worked out that was coming. Stereolab did 6, Bell and Sebastian did 5, Steel Pulse did 5, and the White Stripes just did 2.
I'm carrying the Coke can for that. Sorry, Tim.
Which actor released an album called Calypso Is Like So and was name-checked in songs by Elton John, Queens of the Stone Age and The Velvet Underground?
Tim, help.
It's a brilliant question, I have to say.
It is great. And I mean, I don't have any problem with the question. It's the answer that's causing more of an issue. Do you want me to throw a name at you, Tim, and you can either accept it or dismiss it?
Yes.
Well, William Shatner makes incredibly mental records, doesn't he? But would he have been early enough to have been name-checked by the Velvet Underground?
And I'm trying to think as well, who would Elton John name-check? So I think it's going to be somebody big and classic. Let's say it's Maurice Chevalier.
Okay.
It was Robert Mitchum. His album was released by Capitol in 1957. The Elton John song was One More Arrow from Too Low for Zero. Queens of the Stone Age song was The Fun Machine from Took a Shit and Died. And the Velvet song was New Age from the album Loaded.
Wow.
I think Gavin wrote these, actually. He's done top. He's all the explainers in them as well. Legend. So what links are the following albums? Push the Sky Away by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Phantasmagoria by The Damned, and the 2001 compilation, The Best of Roxy Music.
Is it something to do with films?
Or Naked Ladies?
Ooh, you're getting warm with that. That's the only clue you're going to get.
Let's stick with Naked Ladies. So I was going to say, tell me more about Naked Ladies. That is not a rag I want to wave at Paul. So go on, Tim.
I'm going to say arses.
No, they all have the same cover star, which is Susie Bick, model, actor, clothes designer, and Nick Cave's wife. You've got them all wrong so far.
Excellent. Go, team.
Question four. Which band was formed in 1959, toured with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, had seven top 20 singles between 1964 and 1980, and are still touring with one original member?
That feels unspecific as a question, I must admit. What do you think, Tim?
Is it 59 and their first hit was in 64?
And they toured with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. They've absolutely stitched you up like kippers because they're brilliant questions. You just don't know the answer. Gavin's face just looks so smug.
I'm not smug at all. I've not heard their questions yet. So.
I think that, Julia, I think that our questions were much too easy.
I think so, yes. But then let's not have the post-mortem now. Let's try and finish this.
Yes.
Have you got any ideas, Tim? I've got a guess, but that might not be right.
I mean, the Hollies couldn't have formed in 59, could they?
My guess was the Pretty Things, but I think the Hollies are more likely to have formed then.
I'm gonna have to push you for an answer.
Let's say
the Hollies.
It was the Barren Knights.
Oh my god!
I would judge people if they did know that.
Right. Which band links the following albums? Young Americans by David Bowie, Coming Out by Manhattan Transfer, Freeze Frame by Godley and Cream, and It's Like You Never Left by Dave Mason.
I mean, I've got a vague idea, but I don't know that. But
well, what's your vague idea? Talk me through it.
I wonder if they might be Noel Rogers related and it might be Chic.
I don't think so.
Okay. What's your alternative, Tim?
That's the problem, is poo-pooing something but not having an alternative is not a great look, is it?
Leader of the opposition, Tim Scullion there.
Yeah. I'm just thrown by which band.
Do you need me to explain what bands are? They're a group of people that all play the same music.
If it had been albums, I'd have been more comfortable. I'm completely thrown.
In which case, we'll have to go with my Noel Rogers option because there is no... Tina, there is no alternative. Noel Rogers,
all right. Chic.
I have heard of these guys. They were a popular four-beat combo called The Beatles.
What? What's the rationale behind that?
John Lennon worked on The Young Americans, Ringo Starr on Coming Out, Paul McCartney on Freeze Frame, and George Harrison on It's Like You Never Left.
I hate everything.
So, out of a possible 10 points, I'm afraid, guys, you secured zero.
I mean, in a way, that's better than getting one, isn't it? Or two.
I think so.
We've done it properly, I think.
It's a badge of honour.
It is. Hooray for us. Woo!
Carousel, are you ready for your questions? Which Greek legend is Elton John's adopted middle name?
Hercules.
It is Hercules. Well done, 2 points. What time was the baby born in Up the Junction by Squeeze?
Oh, let's see. This morning at... Is it? I think it's 4:50, but this morning at 4:50, I took a rather nifty. It's something 50. 2:50.
It must be 50.
2:50, 3:50, yeah, or 4:50. This morning at 3:50. This morning at 2. This morning at 4:50.
I think 4 sounds right in my head.
Yeah.
Should we go 4:50?
Yeah, let's go 4:50.
Yeah.
Yeah, your head needs knocking. It's 5:20.
Oh. It's 30 minutes later she gave birth to a daughter.
Yeah, boogers.
Which of these disco hits was originally intended to be sung by the singer's wife? Was it Kung Fu Fighting by Carl Douglas, Rock Your Baby by George McRae, or You Make Me Feel Mighty Real by Sylvester?
Did Sylvester have a wife?
I was thinking that. That's a very don't good think point. He did.
Elton John had a wife.
That is true.
Oh, yeah.
That is very true. So it's Kung Fu Fighting. And what was the other one?
Rock Your Baby.
That would be the more obvious one, wouldn't it?
That's the one.
But is it a Tricky Dicky one, you know?
Yeah.
But Kung Fu Fighting, it doesn't sound like it would be designed, maybe.
No, Rock Your Baby seems more female friendly.
Correct. 2 points.
Oh.
We lack the wit to have written Tricky Dicky questions.
Yeah, this is true. So you know. We thought we were playing fair, man.
Yeah, but, exactly. You know, you had your little maths time conundrum in there, which, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
that's true.
True or false, Prince is the purple one's real birth name.
Well, isn't his name Prince Nelson Rogers?
Isn't it Prince Nelson? So, yeah, then I think.
Is the right answer. Another 2 points. Jules and Tim have announced, we're big fans of yacht rock. But in what year was the name of this genre coined? 85, 95 or 05?
It's something to do with somebody who wrote on some website or something, isn't it? So I'm pretty sure it'd be, because it's more like an internet age phenomenon where a label gets kind of placed on it retrospectively. So I think 2005, what do you reckon, Gav?
I've no idea at all. Yeah, we'll go with that though, yeah.
It's the right answer. Another 2 points. So you got 8 out of 10 in that round. I'll do the scores on the doors for you as Catherine holds them up. So We Buy Records, 35 points. And the Giddy Carousel of Pop, 49 points.
Oh dear. Don't put your head in your
I don't know why. Thing. I don't know why I'm thinking, because I'm technically on the other team anyway. I thought, I've got this sewn up. I've got the best ringer I could possibly find.
I mean, I did my best. It just
and
wasn't very
Tim
good.
And then Tim let you down, Juliet.
No, we let each other yeah. We let each other down. It's fine.
Tim let himself down with those albums.
You kept saying album and you just... Once you've... Because when people are really good at these things...
I tried to stop you and you couldn't be stopped.
I felt certain my time was about to come.
Well, on the bombshell that Tim doesn't know his onions... That's the end of the quiz, yes.
It's ended with a whimper, hasn't it?
Well, as always.
Well done, everybody.
Thank you. Okay. Well played.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Join us next time. I'm sure we'll be having another quiz on We Buy the Giddy Carousel of Records.
Previously on the We Made This Network. By Projection Light.
Dickinson also brings the audience's attention to a then unknown Audrey, who shines like a bright, pure beacon the whole film. It's quite amazing to think that only a year after this film, she would be cast in the film that would catapult her to superstardom and garner her an Oscar win. But it's also not difficult to believe. Her performance is so unaffected, as if she's living the part of Nora, which, as I've said, she almost had already. And it's also wonderful to see her dance, particularly during the audition scene towards the start of the film, where she flits and spins like an angel. It made me think of how she had danced during the war for audiences who were not allowed to clap due to the prohibition of public gatherings, but how she brought joy to those people as she brings joy to everyone who's watching this film every time she dances.
Don't say the C word.
Sex, drugs and rock and roll isn't a cliche. I've seen it all. There's a unique group of groupies that feel the need to collect, if that's the right term to use, like all of the band members, as in to sleep with all the band members and all of the crew.
Oh, so, wow. So they kind of, do they work their way from the top down or do they work their way from the bottom up?
Yeah, get to whoever they can first. And it would always be me and one of the band members did never get, and I was quite proud of that. I was like, yeah, I'm the one that you don't know about, so like, you can never brag. I'm not a bragging writer.
That's pretty admirable. And is there a particular reason why you're not gonna shag the groupies?
At the time, I was a virgin and I didn't want my first time to be with just some random lady on the road.
Bloody hell, that really is admirable. I think I'd have thrown my virginity at anybody, to be honest with you.
It got to the point a few years on, like, I was like, I'm thinking about it now. But no.
The Time Is Now, a Millennium Podcast.
The way that he's offered that job, I think he's done that before. It's not out of character for him to go into a situation like that. I know it's done a bit more, with a bit more levity earlier in the season in Goodbye Charlie,
yeah,
where he goes to speak to the social worker and he lays off all of his problems, which is a great scene in that episode.
Yeah, it's very hard to have that sort of levity when you're dealing with literal Nazis, to be fair.
Well, yeah, it's a slightly different take on the same kind of...
Yeah. I'm wondering whether the Mel Brooks sequence of that would probably be something to behold.
Check out all of these shows and more on the We Made This podcast network.